This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
In the wake of the attacks in Paris last month, the French government immediately rolled back the rights of its citizens. They made promises to escalate the harassment and surveillance of Muslims. And President François Hollande pledged revenge in a pitiless war against ISIS. Thus, France seems to be following in the steps of the United States. After September 11, 2001, George Bush declared his own war on terror, a war that continues unabated today. Paul Gottinger is a journalist based in Wisconsin. His most recent article, Beyond the Hysteria of Vengeance, can be found at Counterpunch. And he has joined us to discuss the war on terror and the growth of ISIS. Hello, Paul.
Hi, how's it going?
Very well, thanks. What do you make of French reaction to the attacks in Paris?
Well, I think that, as I wrote in the article, I think that it's kind of following a tradition here that the West has to essentially engage in actions that ramp up violence in the Middle East, ramp up surveillance and harassment of Muslim and Arab communities in the West. And both those things are going to have a tendency to increase incidence of alienation of Muslim communities in the West and increase instability in the Middle East, which is going to give a lot of potential for recruitment for terrorist organizations like ISIS to become stronger, get a larger number of recruits, and continue their violent campaigns.
And I think I also heard that the French government are planning on closing something like 100 mosques. Is that correct?
I saw that reported in Al Jazeera yesterday. I think they've maybe already closed a few. One of the mottos of France is, you know, like liberty, equality, and there's this history, and this in the West too. In the U.S., where there's supposed to be this basis of religious freedom, but people like Donald Trump are talking about closing mosques. This stuff is really only going to create this really making it seem that these governments are really at war with Muslims and really demonizing Muslim communities in the West, and that again is going to play right into these extremist groups' hands. Which that's their message. They're saying that look, these countries that you live in, this isn't really. They're not letting you in. You're clearly not going to be accepted by them. So you should join us. And this is exactly playing into that.
Now, is there any way at all that the U.S. war on terror can be considered successful in the last 15 years?
I certainly don't think so. In the last, after September 11, 2001. The U.S. immediately engaged in, you know, harassment of Muslims, as I talked about, but also immediately engaged in violence in Afghanistan, a war in Iraq, which had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. And in the wake of that, this created a massive amount of instability in the region that's really just spread from country to country. One of the articles that I wrote is just looking at State Department's own numbers, and this shows that there's since 2002 to 2014, there's been an increase 65 times of incidents of terror around the world. So these attacks in Paris, they grab headlines. They're obviously very shocking and horrific, but the majority of this violence due to terrorism is taking place in countries that are been directly impacted by Western war and aggression. So obviously, places like Iraq and Afghanistan and now Syria, Libya, these are places that the West, in the wake of war and terrorism, engaged in violence, overthrew governments, and the instability has resulted in this allowed extremist organizations like ISIS to gain a foothold, and they're actually occupying territory. So it's a pretty serious situation, and I don't think the governments of the West really understand the depths of the problem.
You mentioned the increase in incidents of terrorism, 65 times or whatever. Is that incidents of terrorism all around the world or just against American citizens?
Yeah, this is what the State Department defines as terrorism. So terrorism is a very political term. Actually, the UN, there was supposed to be, I think in the past, Kofi Annan was trying to get a kind of UN overarching some sort of agreement on how to handle terrorism, but it's such a political term that it never really came to pass. So, you know, the worst types of terrorism are engaged in by states. Governments engage in war. Something like the war in Iraq was an illegal war, and by most definitions of terrorism, would be considered terror. But the State Department is only concerned with non-state actors and the terrorism that they wage against, primarily civilians, and then what they would deem as legitimate governments. So these are incidents of, like, car bombings, you know, mass shootings, IED explosions, attacks on, you know, civilians, government institutions, things like that. That's what the State Department is considering terrorism.
Now, to what degree has this war on terror over the last 14 years related to specifically the growth of ISIS?
Well, so people like Graham Fuller, who is a former CIA analyst, say that the war in Iraq basically created the circumstances from which ISIS emerged. ISIS has its roots in the U.S. occupation of Iraq. So it was formerly al-Qaeda in Iraq. Al-Qaeda didn't exist in Iraq until the invasion. The jihad, it became the kind of this very celebrated cause for jihadists once the U.S. Began occupying Iraq, this chance to take on one of the obviously the largest empires in the world, occupying a quote-unquote Islamic country. So people flocked to fight the U.S. there, and out of that grew the al-Qaeda in Iraq group, and there was this very serious civil war that came to pass, and the U.S. Engaged in a surge, which was able to, with like Sunni allies, was able to bring it back a little bit. But then the Arab Spring happened, and the instability in Iraq just moved right over to Syria. And from that, ISIS kind of split off of the al-Qaeda element, which is al-Nusra now in Syria, and ISIS became quite powerful and is now one of the leading rebel groups in Syria, and obviously has supporters in probably like dozens and dozens of countries, and is actually groups that are allied to ISIS that are holding territory in, you know, five or six, seven countries, something like that.
Why are young people joining ISIS?
Well, it's actually very interesting. I think people are joining ISIS from, they have many different backgrounds. Some of them are, you know, engineers, some are, I just read a researcher who said that she got a call from a medical school in London that said that one of her best students went to join ISIS. So it's a pretty wide spectrum of people. And it's something that is, there's some studies on it. It seems to have, so in the West, I think that one of the things is all the things that the West is like, has a lot of problems with isolation and alienation, these really deep cultural problems. There's no kind of grand narrative to why, you know, Muslim communities or anyone, any young people, why they, what's the purpose of their life? You know, like the main narrative that we're told is, you know, get a job or, you know, make money or something like that. And that's not very satisfying to a lot of people. That's going to be very alienating, especially to groups that have been traditionally been alienated and demonized. So there's this kind of, this space that exists that, you know, groups like, extremist groups like ISIS can say, you know what, the real reason for life is you need to defend your homeland. The West is acting in an aggressive and domineering manner, engaging in imperialism in your homeland, and that's the cause of your life. So with the lack of this grand narrative, I think that there's this space that somebody can say, you know what, this is the reason why. It's certainly a very complicated situation why anyone joins an extremist group. I think that studies show that the thing that's most common in terrorism, you know, this is since World War II, is it's not religious fanaticism, it's a form of resistance to perceived illegitimate imperialism. So whether it be, you know, in Palestine or in Northern Ireland, there's some sort of kind of homeland that's prized, and there's a group that's engaging in illegitimate authority over that, and that results in terrorism.
Airstrikes seem to be a very popular approach to dealing with ISIS. I was just reading in another article this morning that it's, 100 years now that the West has been bombing the Middle East, basically, since the airplane was invented. How useful are airstrikes?
Well, I think it's pretty interesting. So you listeners may be aware that there is actually a bit of a scandal in the U.S. here that it looks like the U.S. military was engaging in kind of doctoring the evidence and how effective the airstrikes have been. It looks like they've been not very effective. So the U.S. has been bombing. The U.S. is basically just the U.S. The European powers are taking a more active role, but the Arab partners, groups like Saudi Arabia and UAE, they basically stopped engaging in airstrikes in Syria and Iraq. But they've been bombing for over a year, supposedly by their own numbers killed 20,000 ISIS fighters. Unfortunately, they've all been replaced by new recruits. I think that ISIS is taking in about 1,500 new recruits every month. But this is creating a lot of instability. It's creating economic instability. So the U.S. has started bombing, you know, oil infrastructure in Syria, and these are just civilian truck drivers who are trying to make an income in a very unstable Syrian country, or what was left of Syrian, So I think that this is going to harm the civilian population. I think that it's not a very effective tactic. I think the West military involvement, ramping up the violence, is going to exacerbate the refugee crisis, which creates more instability and certainly is going to have, like, this seems to have this very right-wing backlash in Europe. So in my opinion, it's not effective and probably will only aid extremist recruiting.
What do you think the West could do to decrease terrorism?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a number of things that can be done. I outlined some of them in that article for Counterpunch. But I think that we have to really understand the depth of the problem, and we're facing a pretty serious situation here where, I think there was a week period where a group in Sinai brought down an airliner. There was an attack in South Beirut, and there was an attack in Paris. So I think that governments tend to see these extremist groups as how they would deal with another government, very hierarchical, very well organized. But ISIS is really, it's an idea. You can't really wage war on an idea. So we need to look at this in a much more deep way. What's causing it? And when you ask me what causes young people to join, I think that, you know, being much more inclusive of these organizations. You know, I often get asked questions like, oh, well, people are refusing to assimilate. They want to stay, you know, in their private communities. But I think that it's really the responsibility of the greater community to welcome them in and provide a narrative to what it means to be part of this country. And that's obviously a very deep cultural problem, but I think that those are things that we'll have to think about and really work on if we want to try to end this. There's also very practical things that can be done. So a lot of the funding from these extremist groups come from billionaire donors in the Gulf, and oftentimes they'll move through very mainstream large banks in the West. I mean, that's something that can be, they certainly be cut off. The West can stop engaging in violence in the Middle East. The West has no right to attack in an aggressive manner any sort of countries in the Middle East and for control of oil, which is the main reason why the U.S. invaded Iraq in 2003. There's also, you know, trying to alleviate the humanitarian crisis related to the refugees. It's something that amount of instability is really going to potentially create a lot of problems. So there's these really much deeper things that the West should be working on rather than the airstrikes, the military stuff, that it's only going to create more problems, and it really shows a lack of understanding of the depth of this problem.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Paul, for speaking with us today and clarifying this.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot.
Now, I've been speaking with Paul Gottinger. He is a journalist based in Wisconsin. His most recent article, Beyond the Hysteria of Vengeance, can be found at the website counterpunch.org.